Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, September 30th, 2009 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and my guest today is Cheryl Barnes. She's back for another visit, and Cheryl's a mother who has formed a citizens watchdog group to keep an eye on children and family services agencies all around the country. And she's back again. A number of people have asked me to bring her back for a second time so we could discuss this in depth, and perhaps people have some questions as well. I just want to check. Cheryl, are you there? Okay, great. Cheryl Barnes is there. So, Cheryl, let's revisit in quickly here. I want to revisit the Tony Alamo Ministry case. After our show last week, I was notified by the members of the ministry that the order to take the parish's baby was not acted upon by the judge. And this doesn't mean they're out of the woods, though, because there's a hearing coming up in October, in the late October, that's going to decide the fate of the baby. Is that the right way to look at this case right now? Do you think that was a good sign, what the judge did? Or just standard operating procedure?
After immediate custody. And the judge just, he said in the interview report that he had been out of town and it was the first he heard of it, and that he would just hear the petition on the same day that they were already set for a permanency hearing.
Can I ask you, are you on a speakerphone?
Pardon me?
Are you on a speakerphone?
No.
Okay, I'm getting a big echo, so stay close to your phone and we'll see what we can do. Okay, that's a little better. Okay, tell us, Cheryl, we wanted to talk some about the particulars again in this case. Since our show last week, has anything else changed, or have you had more contact with Mr. Kuhn? And what's the climate of what are we looking at here now? Anything since we last talked changed?
Yes. We filed a motion for a temporary restraining order in the federal case, through the federal case, to alleging that the act was retaliation, and the temporary restraining order in the federal case asked the federal judge to order that they cannot take custody of that baby unless they meet certain criteria, which is articulating specific abuse that that baby has suffered or will suffer, and also to have that reviewed by the federal court instead of the state court.
Okay. So that's the position we're in right now. How many kids have been taken totally? I always get I get mixed numbers. In the Alamo Ministry, how many kids are we talking about?
36.
Okay, so we have 36 children still in state custody. And do you know if they're still looking for others?
Yes, there's still a pickup order in the 92, I believe.
Okay. And those are kids that are spread out all over the country, right?
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Okay.
Where they are.
You know, I wanted to get into this aspect of the story because you've done a lot of research. The financial aspects, the laws that have been passed in the last 15 to 20 years since Clinton really jump-started this whole problem. But tell us how that happened, what Clinton's plan was, the laws behind what makes Child Protective Services so corrupt, and the financial incentives. I think people need to get that information. Go ahead.
Well, the Adoption and Safe Families Act really kind of boosted the need to remove children because it pays a bonus to the states for adoptions, and they have to increase adoptions every year to be able to get the bonus. They get a $5,000 bonus for normal children and $6,000 for special needs children. That's above what their adoptions were the previous year. So if they have 10,000 adoptees this year and they have 12,000 next year, they only get the bonus for the 2,000 over that.
Okay.
And the other thing with the federal funding is it only pays for, the states only get federal money when children are in foster care. So even though the law says they're supposed to provide services in their homes, they have to do that with their own state money. So states typically don't do it.
And recently they've even provided more incentives. I think on the last show you told me recently they're providing more incentives now, correct? Financial incentives.
Yes, only for when children are in foster care, though.
Okay, and how does that work again?
Well, just with the adoption bonuses, it's not like a permanency bonus. So in order to increase adoptions, you have to take more kids. 42% of the adoptions were children under age 5 at the time they were removed. So the point of that law was supposed to keep children from lagging in foster care and kind of provide an incentive to children that are just growing up in foster care to get them adopted. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is they're taking more children so that they have a bigger pool to adopt from.
Okay. You know, a question that some people have asked me that I wanted to ask you is that it's pretty clear in the Alamo Ministry case that they want to silence these people for their outspoken views regarding the government and religion and how the two have meshed together in the United States, i.e., the hidden Vatican power that many people are unaware of, and the connection between that and our government. At the break, I will present some information showing that connection in today's world, in America, all of the agencies and their top leaders being controlled by people, either members of the Knights of Malta or with Roman Catholic ties to the Vatican. And it's quite interesting. However, I wanted to ask you this. Now, there's been other churches, too, that have been attacked. We of course, know Waco. We, of course, know FLDS Church. Similar things happened. But let's say, you know, I talked yesterday. Monday, I had a gentleman on from Florida named Greg Pound, who's a private citizen, had his 4 children taken away in Florida. And it was basically under the same type of situation. They trumped up abuse charges. Now, in your research, are they targeting a specific group of people in the private sector? What I'm saying is this: outside of these churches that have been attacked for their religious views, are they looking for a certain type of person in the private sector, or are they just basically taking any kid they can find to make some money?
Well, I think that with the mass removals, I think the government is trying to get one of those to stick. So there was, like I said, the Heartland case in 2002 where they took 160 children, and then FLDS, those reclamation rants in Arizona. If they can get one of those mass removals to stick, then they can continue on to more mainstream churches. And the goal, my opinion, is that people that have strong religious views or strong family ties are less likely to go with the government socialism plan. And those are the people that provide the most resistance, particularly religious groups, towards the things that the government's trying to change. And so kind of targeting them, getting rid of them, one way to get rid of a group is just to take their children and have them adopted out to other types of people and sort of eliminate that thought process.
Right.
And, the mass removal based on association with a group is illegal, and that's why I feel like they're trying to just get one of those to stick so they go after controversial churches so the public won't really care too much about it because the public doesn't realize the implications to themselves at a later date. And so,
yeah, and those implications are important. You talk about this intrusion, the socialist intrusion into our private affairs. Nothing could be more true than, let's look at two instances. Hidden in the socialist healthcare plan of Obama are provisions that if Americans do not sign up for the and pay, I believe it's a $1,900 fee. If they don't sign up for the, I'm not sure exactly on the money, but if they don't sign up for the health care, they can be found in violation of a law, fined $25,000, or jailed a year. Now, tell me if that is an intrusion, telling you that how you're going to administer your health care to your family. Secondly, the recent recent swine flu hoax and the laws behind that are making it, Massachusetts has already passed laws making it a crime, mandatory, and if you don't take the swine flu shot, you can be put in an isolation camp. And secondly, they also, in the law written in Massachusetts and passed by the House and the Senate, but not signed yet by the governor, but he's indicated he's going to sign it. If you don't vaccinate your children, they can be taken away from you. Here's another way that Children and Family Services will come in and get involved. So you see these two things going on in our country, which are devastating, which are going to start hitting mainstream America, correct?
Right. And one thing with the government health care plan is it does require routine checkups on your children and things like that. So it gives more opportunities for children to be examined by outside persons, which gives more opportunities for CPS reports.
Right. And then we look at the UN and the World Education Plan they have at the UN, making it mandatory for children to have a curriculum that is worldwide. That is going on as we speak. And secondly, I find it very interesting that the ages for children to get involved in state education in England now have been lowered to the age of 3. So what that tells me is they're trying to snatch these kids away from families at an early age and indoctrinate them instead of allowing the families to educate their children.
Right.
You having 14 children, this is an important issue to you, isn't it?
Yes.
And tell me what you just expound a little bit about that. I mean, I've always said I wanted the government out of education. We should be able to educate our children as we see fit. Go ahead.
I, of course, agree with that. And I did see just recently on the news where they're trying to extend the school days and use summer school because President Obama is feeling that our education in America is less than it is in other countries, which is true, but that's because they fill up the day with a bunch of social nonsense rather than education. The amount of education could be done in half the time if that's all they focused on, but they talk about values and all kinds of issues that even at our public school here, they're examining kids for scoliosis, and kids that are divorced have to go to a psychological class every day. And you can opt yourself out of all of that stuff under the Hatch Amendment. There's a Hatch letter that you could send to the school and pretty much opt your child out of everything that's not education-based. But that's clearly the reason that they don't have enough time to educate, is because they're spending so much time on other things.
Yeah, exactly. And really, the state has ruined the public schools with their curriculums. And the state has ruined the public schools with many other things that are involved in the social aspect of going to a public school. And then they come back and state, well, since our education system, since our kids are so dumb now, we've got to increase that and keep them in school even longer. And all that really is the way to get them away from the family, to take them and tear them apart from their family. And as we speak, I've seen a trend in America where most people really rely on the government or others to take care of their own needs. So basically, we've become a very, very needy society in a sense. We're looking to the authority figures in our government, looking for state agencies, looking for everything, for answers for our children, when we should be looking into the Bible. We should be looking into ourselves and our other family members, our extended family members, our neighbors, for help, correct?
Right. Exactly.
And go ahead.
And, you know, also like the medication and stuff, it's really affecting everyone. It's like we're raising a whole nation of serial killers coming up behind us. And one thing, like with the Alamo kids, is they've given them all the vaccines like Gardasil and the swine flu that isn't even required by state law. Those vaccines are optional, but they still won't let the parents opt out of that. And I do feel like they use foster care children as sort of an experimental pool for psychotropic drugs and new vaccines and things like that.
Have they been vaccinating these Alamo children?
Yes.
They have been?
Yes, and they've even been given, like I said, Gardasil, which is a breast cancer or cervical cancer vaccine, and the swine flu vaccine, which aren't even required under Arkansas state law, but they will not even allow the parents to opt out of those vaccines.
Now, do you have solid information that they've given the swine flu vaccine to these Alamo kids?
Yes, they have. We filed a motion to stop the vaccination.
Oh, my God, I didn't even know that. That really breaks my heart. Go ahead.
And we had filed a motion to stop that, which is supposed to be pending. It was for the three families. It was supposed to be heard on September 1st, but then the judge showed up and said, well, somebody didn't get served, and then he went ahead and gave permanent custody and set the other two families for termination, so now he doesn't have to rule on it. That's one of the things I said we were going to do a judicial complaint about, because he let the motion sit there for about 6 weeks and didn't do anything.
And I believe Arkansas state law doesn't even mandate vaccinations. There are exceptions to
the
rules, right?
There's a religious and a philosophical exemption. So the philosophical exemption can be any personal reason.
So now, like you said, they use these foster kids, these babies, as guinea pigs for these vaccination shots, even against the will of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I wasn't even aware of that. It's an incredible aspect of the story I wanted to emphasize again. So you're trying, have all the kids been vaccinated or just some of them? They
all have been vaccinated, and the girls have been given even the Gardasil. Swine flu is like a series of three shots. They've all received at least one of the series, and some of them have received the full three shots.
There should be an outrage going on in the public right now, and nothing. It's so sad because it's so silent, and only a small group of people. I mean, all you people out there with the vaccination liberation websites and the H1N1 flu websites and all of you fighting to, you know, against mandatory vaccinations, why aren't you coming to the aid of these children at least? I don't care if you don't believe in their religious views. I think every one of these people fighting for to stop mandatory vaccinations should understand that they just took 35 kids and vaccinated them against their parents' will, and it could lead to serious complications if we understand what these vaccinations are all about, correct?
Right. I would like to bring up that issue of the religion, and, you know, I often hear people say, well, why don't they just move off of the church property? You know, why don't they just get jobs? It's the wrong question. I'm so tired of that question being asked. The government cannot tell people where to live and work. They can only protect children from abuse. The question that needs to be asked is, where's the abuse? The government isn't even alleging any of these kids have been abused. And it's no different than if someone kidnapped your kids, and then you would say, well, why don't you just pay the ransom? The reason you don't just pay the ransom is because if you don't catch the kidnappers, they will kidnap someone else's kids. And it's the same in this case. The reason you don't just move away from church housing and off of church property is because then it will happen to your grandkids and your neighbor's kids and the next church's kids. That some people have to stand up for what's right, and thank God that the Alamo people are highly principled and they have a lot of integrity, so that they're standing up and fighting this fight for everybody else, everyone that's afraid to fight it.
That's true, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that question has been asked me many times, you know. Well, why don't they just move out? Why don't they? Well, in fact, there's an example in this case. A couple of parents decided to try that because they love their children so much. And the judge even refused to give the kids back them, correct? Because he said they didn't move away long enough.
Right.
Something like that. So we discussed on our show last week that I don't really think there's any chess move they can make to get their children back. whether they leave, stay, whatever they do right now, the government is intent, and listen to this, listeners, on taking children that they see fit to take, and it's going to happen to you if you don't make a stand today. And if you don't agree with their religious views, you know, that's what this country was built upon, the difference of religious opinion. And that's what makes this country strong, is the tolerance amongst people. But there is no tolerance anymore in this government. Just look at the way they act. They came in stormtrooper-like fashion in September and just raided, had guns pointed at women that were pregnant. What kind of society is that? What kind of government is that? And if we don't take a stand at least on this issue of the swine flu with these children, they're being vaccinated as we speak against their parents' will. They're sticking a needle in these kids' arms with intent to kill. That's what it boils down to. And no one does a damn thing. It's just amazing to me what's going on. No one in authority really has really come to their aid. What senator? What congressman? What city council member? What school board member? Nothing. What church pastor? No one. It's incredible, Cheryl. You've come to her aid, a mother of 14. And you're one of the few people that I noticed an ad you put in, the Arkansas paper. Tell us about this organization and this ad. I think you ought to get people around the country to help you to put more of these up. Tell us about that ad, because when I looked at it, it was very, very good. Go ahead.
Well, mainly with the ad, we want to try to enrage senior citizens and let them know that all of this is paid for with your Social Security money. And there's a big concern already that Social Security is going broke. All the foster care money, all the training, all the social worker salaries is all coming out of Social Security funding. And as I said, you know, last time people probably wouldn't mind if it was protecting abused children, but the vast majority of children in foster care are not abused. Or these children weren't abused, and they're just being held in foster care until the parents move into new houses and get jobs. So that's a complete waste of Social Security money, when on the flip side, everyone probably has a grandparent or something that can't get prescriptions or doesn't have enough money to pay their bills. I have a grandmother that's 76 years old that works a full-time job in addition to her Social Security to be able to pay her bills and pay for her medical care and everything. And all of this money being spent on foster care is completely not needed. It's completely useless. Another very common tactic, in addition to getting the foster care money, is once they get kids in foster care and they start to have psychological problems, post-traumatic stress disorder, attachment disorder, they will go and get them diagnosed with these disorders and then collect SSI in addition to the money that they're getting for foster care. The SSI for foster kids is always the full amount, $1,000 a month, because they aren't considered to have any income. Whereas if a parent were to apply, I have a son that is disabled courtesy of the state of Kansas, and when I go to apply for SSI, I don't qualify because I earn too much money. But if a child's in foster care, they don't consider the foster caregiver's income, so they always get the full amount. So that's just even more Social Security money being funneled to the states for these kids that don't even need to be there.
Yeah, it's incredible. The financial aspects to the story, as well as the other consequences now that are going on. We're going to take a break, Cheryl, so just hold on tight, and we'll come back for another half hour with Cheryl Barnes. Cheryl is a mother of 14 who has decided to fight back against Children and Family Services. She's organized a group, a grassroots group. She did this in the 90s. We're going to talk a little bit about the plight of that group in the next half hour. How her group has been harassed, how it's been difficult for her to keep it going. And you can bet the government is behind that. They do not want anybody to come into the way of their New World Order plans. Back in a few minutes.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com. FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we are back on the Investigative Journal, and my guest is Cheryl Barnes. She started a grassroots organization to keep an eye on children and family services agencies around the country who have been taking children at an alarming rate for the reason, without even showing abuse charges, once you let them in the door, you can pretty well kiss your kids, you know, just say goodbye to your children, because there's no way out of this legal matrix. As the story I presented a couple of days ago with Greg Pound in Florida showed, and I've had him on numerous times, he's lost his children, hasn't seen them in 4 or 5 years, hasn't lived with them for 4 or 5 years, and the whole family's just been split up. And they basically tried to take another baby that was born after the incident occurred and have successfully done that. And so, and we might remember that Greg Pound's a Reformed Catholic. Many members of the Alamo Ministry are Reformed Catholics. And not to take too much time away from Cheryl, but let me just do this for about 3 minutes. And I can do it real quickly. And I'm not going to, I'll spend numerous shows on this in the future, and I've spent numerous shows on this in the past. And many people don't realize that we recognize the Roman Catholic Church as a state in this country. That happened again when Reagan instituted diplomatic relations when he became president. There was an outrage back then. And there were lawsuits filed by many religious organizations, which fell on deaf ears because the judge was Roman Catholic, and he ruled that the religious organizations that filed suit claimed that the Vatican was receiving special privileges, and that could lead to a violation of church and state, which it of course has, and has been since the inception of this country. However, the judge ruled that they have no authority over foreign affairs of our executive branch, and so the case just went away. Praised, however, by many bishops and cardinals. Now, let me say this. Let's go back to 1663. Court records and property records show that Washington, D.C. at that time was called Rome. The Potomac was also called the Tiber. We ask, why was Philadelphia not the capital? Well, the land that was Washington, D.C. stood on was the land of John Carroll, the first Jesuit bishop in America, and so he had enough authority, enough power to move it to his farm. That was sold, and Washington was built on Vatican land. And that's exactly the history of it. Now, if you fast forward and you start looking at all the symbols of the Roman Catholicism and paganism that adorn our Capitol buildings, the map of Washington, D.C. is a pretty interesting thing in itself, we will see the connection was very much founded in the inception of our country. The founding fathers were in bed with the Vatican back then, many of them. And the real founding father that's never been mentioned is Lorenzo Ricci, the Jesuit general during that time, and that's a story in itself. Fast forward to today, and we can see that when Reagan instituted connection between the Vatican and the political, again, recognition, you can see that most every, the World Almanac of Politics in 1992, listen to this. In fact, when that Holy Alliance story hit the stands, there was a story written by by Carl Bernstein regarding that, a journalist back for the Washington Post. According to the 1992 World Almanac of U.S. Politics, that was not directly controlled. There was most every legislative and federal agency that was directly controlled by a Roman Catholic senator or representative. The committees and subcommittees of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives governing commerce, communications, telecommunications, energy, medicine, health, education, welfare, human services, consumer protection, finance, financial institutions, transportation, labor, unemployment, employment, hazardous materials, homeland security, taxation, bank regulation, currency and monetary policy, oversight of the Federal Reserve System, commodity prices, rent, services, small businesses, administration, urban affairs, human affairs, Near Eastern and South Asian affairs. Can I go on farther? I got another paragraph to read. All controlled by the, I've got a list here of over 30 Roman Catholic senators or congressmen that are in control of all these committees. Is that any kind of coincidence? No. And I'll tell you what, it's no different than the way old Rome was set up, when the priests controlled most everything behind the scenes for the Pontifex Maximus. Now, let's fast forward to exactly this moment. We have 35 children stolen by these people. Now, it just so happens that Tony's ministry criticized the Vatican in the same manner that I'm doing right now. They've taken their children and illegally injected them. They are the criminals, not the Alamo ministry, and it's got to be understood. Now, any of you out there fighting for vaccination liberation, and you don't get behind this ministry and help these kids, then this whole program, this whole idea that we're trying to fight against mandatory vaccination is flawed. And if you don't see that, then there's a serious problem between the patriot community and what's going on at this ministry. Your thoughts, Cheryl?
Well, exactly. And anyone that has a valid vaccine exemption, as these people did, if the government can just take your children and then go and have them vaccinated, And by the time you get to court to be able to redress that, they're already vaccinated. It just it totally sidesteps the law. The judge in this case has said, actually, see, Arkansas had a case in 2005 where their vaccine statute was ruled unconstitutional because it didn't give a philosophical exemption. It only gave a religious exemption. And so the law was changed at that time. And the judge in this case still says he doesn't care what the law says. He thinks all children should be vaccinated. And so he's given DHS the power to do so. And as I said, by the time it's actually heard on appeal or anything like that, all the damage is already done. For the Gardasil vaccine, it's new. I would have concerns that it's going to, 10 years from now, surface that it causes sterility or cancer or something else. I think it's suspicious any time they're giving a vaccine just to girls of a certain age.
Now, you know, I'm going to, on Friday, I'm going to have a show. I think everybody should listen to it. There's a gentleman coming on that works heavily in the HIV AIDS arena and shows how it's not as the government tells us. And we're going to present a video for people that you've never seen it before. You've got to watch it. And the first two words in it are guinea pigs, and it has to do with kids. And it goes back to Catholic orphanages using children as guinea pigs for much of the HIV medication. And it's an incredible video that's been overlooked. And when I do this Friday, you're going to see the connections between this, swine flu, what's going on now, the Alamo Ministry, and exactly what they did to these young kids regarding much of many of the drugs involved in HIV and other experimental drugs, and how they use children in orphanages to do that. And I've shown that in other programs in Canada with the Duplessis orphans, how Catholic orphanages were used as breeding ground to experiment on children, and also the native population in Canada has been exposed to this, and I've presented that on the show regarding how the United Churches there in Canada with the Vatican together were the breeding grounds again for all this abuse in schools, and these Native American children were basically stolen from their families, put into these schools, and then used as guinea pigs. It's an incredible story. It's been going on for a long time. Now we're seeing it in America up close and personal with the swine flu. You're going to get a dose of it soon when they start coming to you, your house and stating, you don't vaccinate your children, then we're taking them away from you, and if you don't vaccinate yourself, we're putting you away in a camp. And that's exactly what they have planned. Now we see the Alamo Ministry children, and I'm going to emphasize it again, have been vaccinated with the with the swine flu vaccinations against their parents' will. When there's evidence to show that these injections could cause serious illness or death, and are used to jumpstart this fraud of a swine flu. And basically, it's sticking a needle in someone with intent to kill, and the American people are sitting back absolutely blind to it. And I'm glad there's people like you, Cheryl, who are bringing this to light. Over the years, you have had much harassment on your group. Tell us a little bit about the background of this and why you keep doing it.
Well, because every time I try to stop, I feel like God drags me back into it through my own kids somehow. It's really heartbreaking type of work that you don't want to do, you know, for your life. Like, obviously I want to help people, but it's always a lot of sadness, and it's hard to just do it all the time. And I've had several issues with my children removed. I was arrested once for not letting the police in my home in 2003 without a warrant, and I was charged with obstruction of government operations, which was, of course, dismissed. And my kids at that time had locked themselves in a back bedroom for 6 hours. Because I was active at the time, the head for the state of DFS refused to accept my children into custody. The police can take custody for 72 hours, and they have to turn them over to DFS, but DFS refused to accept them, so they had to give them back. That's why I say speaking out is always a good thing. It's when I haven't been active that I've had the most trouble with DFS. process. You know, when I've been active, the legislators know who I am, and they will come to my aid a little bit. But just having 14 kids, I have 12 kids at home, generates a lot of reports. Somebody came the other day to repair an appliance, and the children that were home were 12, 11, 9 years old, just those three children, and they called DFS. All the little kids.
They called DFS. Why?
Yeah. And that was just three kids, and that was the appliance repairman. We've had several calls about a bunch of our kids jumping on the trampoline, which is something they've done their whole lives. And there's, none of my kids have ever had a broken bone except one that got a broken bone in foster care. And
so you had somebody come over to repair an appliance, and he calls DHS?
Yes.
Do you think that was a setup?
People are just brainwashed into that type of thinking from, you know, the things they see on TV and stuff like that, and they really have lost their critical thinking skills. So it could be at the time the guy just saw some kind of case about a kid that burned a house down, or I don't know what, but he felt like that was his duty to do because of all the media propaganda that we're constantly getting, and so he did.
And so they come over. What did they say to you?
Oh, I told them to get to show me their court order, that I was happy to cooperate. Just let me see their court order. And they said, oh, we don't need a court order. And I said, oh, well, you know, under Missouri law, you need a court order. And if you look in your policy, Section 4, it also says that you have to seek a court order. And she said, okay, well, can I get your name? And I said, no. And she said, you won't even tell me your name? And I said, I'll tell you everything as soon as you have a court order. Until then, you need to leave. And then I just closed the door. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm never
you.
Confrontational. I'm always polite. And, you know, they'll threaten to get the police sometimes, but the police also need a court order and just stand behind that.
You know, I know there's a lot of people listening that may want to contact you privately, talk about things, and also may want to provide encouragement to you and help you. Can you give out your email or something so that they can contact you?
Yes, my email is Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, at ctswatchlegalteam.com.
Okay, say that slowly again.
Cheryl at cpswatchlegalteam.com.
Okay, and that's Cheryl with a C at cpswatchlegalteam.com.
Right.
Okay.
I can give you my
so after the DHS workers left, was there any other repercussions?
No. Usually they never come back. No.
Okay, so they've been at your door a number of times.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's a coincidence about what you do. I think it is.
When I've gotten even a copy of my DFS file, it says right in the front page, this family is extremely hostile. Always contact law enforcement. And I'm not hostile. I'm kind of small framed. I'm very soft spoken. I've never been hostile. I do state this is the law and this is what you need to do, but I state it very calmly.
Well, that's hostile nowadays. If you, you know, anything, if you don't just lay down to law enforcement, no matter what they do, how illegal it is, that's considered hostile. Now here, that, you know, just what's written in your report should be a violation of your constitutional rights. So when they open it up, they see this is a hostile family. What hostile? I mean, you're raising 12, 14 kids and you don't want the government involved. And you're doing a hell of a job. I mean, anybody who can take care of all those children and do the job you've done and do everything else to try to help others should be placed on a pedestal and not be harassed by the government. You're the type of person that your neighbors should cherish as an asset to the community. You're the type of person that should be the one contacted if there's problems with families, because you know how to help people. You're there to help people. But instead, I bet you, your community, and I'm not going to indict the members of your community without knowing, but I'm just going to use you as an example. I bet you there's a lot of members in your community who want to stay away from you, right?
Yes, I actually did have a neighbor who called DFS several times. I do taxes and accounting, and I have a sign in my window, and she didn't like that in the neighborhood, so she had called the city, and they said it was legal, and then she called DFS, and I went down to her house with a copy of the law. It's a felony to make a false report against somebody, but the government never prosecutes people for it because they want people to keep calling. But I went down and gave her a copy of the law and said, if you ever call DFS again, I will sue you in civilly, and I will demand that the police arrest you. And just left it at that. And then the police also told her, well, you probably should just stay away from her because she's kind of a problem. And, you know, she hasn't called since then. But it's a real easy means of retaliating against somebody to just call DFS.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people nowadays, if they don't like what you do, they figure they'll call the police. And it's really ridiculous. And it's not so much even in that. I mean, you might have a dog that barks too much. You might have a, oh, I was doing some work on a project of mine, and one person didn't like it, and the police are there the next minute. I mean, it goes on and on. And I tell you what, it's a sign of the times. And don't think, Americans, that your neighbor won't sell you out if they don't agree with your views, or if you become, quote-unquote, hostile. So I'm telling you what, we have a serious problem in this country, and it just, look, it's happened before in Nazi Germany, it's happened in Russia, and it's happening here. There's no difference. And so just read history, and you'll see what people are up against who want to tell the truth. You have a choice, really, though. It's really, do you want to choose, and all the things we're talking about here, everything that Cheryl's been talking about, the things I talk about every day on this show, the little introduction I gave you into the real truth about the Founding Fathers and what this country is all about, boils down to really one question. Are you going to serve? What master are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the Bible? Or are you going to serve the other master in the government, working with the Vatican and other religious agencies to bring about a new world order? It boils down to that question. And I will say this. Throughout all the harassment that will come in the future, everything that's happened in the past, I am going to choose our Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And where that takes me, I know it is a better place than where it would take me, no matter how much gold and silver I could get in the other realm, no matter how much prestige and how much I can get by selling out my neighbors, I just won't do it. And I think that's the real decision people have to make. And sometimes it's not an easy one. It's not meant to be. What's your thoughts on that, Cheryl?
Well, I would like to say everyone that's made a big change in our law or in our history, things never went well for that person. You know, like Martin Luther King or anyone, we read about them later, but things didn't go well for them. They didn't just walk in and say, oh, hey, this is illegal, and the court just says, okay. It was usually a many years or a decade-long process to cause that to happen, but they made the situation better for everybody else. And really what all of us want, me included, is just to be able to get through our life here on Earth without too much complications. The problem with that is that if we don't stand up for what's right, our children suffer, our grandchildren will suffer. The people that didn't fight this fight prior to us have caused us to suffer. Everyone needs to do their duty, and nobody wants to be the person whose shoulders it falls on to have to stand up and fight this deal. Well, my parents don't want it. They've lost their kids for a year now. They don't want to have to be the people that are sticking in there and saying this is right. It's much easier to just cave and try to get their kids back. But they're making the world better for all of us. And the least we can do if we don't stand behind them is call them and thank them or send them a thank you card, because they're protecting all of our rights.
Very, very well said. I do have Tom Fress on the line. He has a question. Tom has a show after mine, and he's a caller right now, wants to chime in and say some things. Tom, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am, Greg. Cheryl, can you hear me?
Yes.
Talk up, Tom. Talk up.
Yeah, I'm as close as I can get. Cheryl, I commend you for everything you're doing. If I was there, I'd hug your neck. But listen, this, Greg can tell you, Greg Szymanski is a Reformed Catholic. Greg Pound is a Reformed Catholic. Tony Alamo Ministry parents are Reformed Catholics. This is a Holy Roman Inquisition against those outspoken Reformed Catholics. This entire thing is religious persecution, and people would like to roll their eyes about this. But it is true. Greg knows that we have 1,500 years of history of Roman Catholic Church to prove the assertions. We have 500 years of Jesuit history to prove these assertions. Rome always does this when she gains the ascendancy in a nation. Greg Szymanski can back me up that the Roman Catholic Church has an alarming amount of control now in our government, and especially in the Supreme Court, a 6-3 majority. And the judicial system is literally waging a religious persecution for the Vatican against these people. And I just implore you, listen, nobody in Alamo Ministries would ever submit to letting their kids be vaccinated with these vaccines. It's against their religious beliefs. Further, they know who's in control of the government and what these vaccines are really designed to do. It's an outrage that these kids were allowed to be vaccinated. And it's a direct front against the God-given rights of these parents to have and to protect their own kids. This is an in-your-face usurpation of the rights of these parents, and they're doing it on religious grounds. And these people don't have any support in the world. And Cheryl, I implore you, if you're involved in any more investigations like this, you simply must get the religious background of these people. Because what you're going to find is that this is a nationwide persecution of outspoken Protestants. Listen, the Roman Catholic Church has these people's baptismal records. They know who's Catholic, and they also know who's Reformed. And they always wage persecution and inquisition against those who abandon the Roman Catholic Church and join the Protestant Reformation. This is the answer, and this is where we need to focus our attention. I think we focus too much attention about all the tax dollars, my tax dollars, that are used to wage a religious persecution against Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. We talk about the money, but that draws attention away from the real root of this persecution is religious. Yes, money is important. It draws our attention, but it draws our attention away from the real motive of this, which is religious persecution. I know you're running out of time. I'll let it go. I've probably said too much anyway, but thanks,
no,
Cheryl.
No, Tom,
for
we
all
appreciate
you
your views. And give me a couple of minutes to close here with Cheryl.
Yeah.
And the one thing I want to say is that both of you, Cheryl said something very important earlier in the show, and that is when she stays involved, the government stays at arm's length. Both of you remember that. You got to stay involved. You can't just hide anymore. And I know in this kind of what we do, it's easy to fall away and to say, I don't want to do it anymore. But please, both of you, keep doing what you're doing. Tom, your radio show every day. Cheryl, keep fighting this good fight and helping mothers and parents understand what this is all about. That's the safest route for you, because these people, from my research, are very, very devious and will stop at nothing getting what they want, and they will harm innocent people. So I want you to keep active, keep your voice alive, and that will help keep you alive. And it just boils down to that, because we're dealing with a group of assassins, and they'll do it in so many different ways. And I wanted you to hear that. Cheryl, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, that's still fine. That's fine. That's awesome.